The Book of Eternal Night, Canto 1, Towards the Black Void, from page 571. So was she left alone in the huge wood, surrounded by a dim, unthinking world, her husband's corpse on her forsaken breast. In her vast, silent spirit, motionless, she measured not her loss with helpless thoughts, nor rent with tears the marble seals of pain. She rose not yet to face the dreadful God. Over the body she loved, her soul leaned out in a great stillness, without stir or voice, as if her mind had died with Satyavan. But still the human heart in her beat on, aware still of his being near to hers. Closely she clasped to her the mute, lifeless form, as though to guard the oneness they had been and keep the spirit still within its frame. Then suddenly there came on her the change which in tremendous moments of our lives can overtake sometimes the human soul and hold it up towards its luminous source. The veil is torn, the thinker is no more. Only the spirit sees and all is known. Then a calm power seated above our brows is seen, unshaken by our thoughts and deeds. Its stillness bears the voices of the world. Immobile, it moves nature, looks on life. It shapes immutably its far-seen ends. Untouched and tranquil amid error and tears, and measureless above our striving wills, its gaze controls the turbulent whirl of things. To mate with the glory it sees, the spirit grows. The voice of life is tuned to infinite sounds. The moments on great wings of lightning come, and godlike thoughts surprise the mind of earth. Into the soul's splendor and intensity, a crescent of miraculous birth is tossed, whose horn of mystery floats in a bright void. As into a heaven of strength and silence, thought is ravished, all this divine, living mortal clay is seized, and in a swift and fiery flood of touches, shaped by a harmonist unseen. A new sight comes, new voices in us form, a body of the music of the gods. Immortal yearnings without name leap down, large quiverings of Godhead seeking, run, and weave upon a puissant field of calm a high and lonely ecstasy of will. This in a moment's depths was born in her. Now to the limitless gaze disclosed that sees things barred from human thinking's earthly lids, the spirit who had hidden in nature soared out of his luminous nest within the worlds. Like a vast fire it climbed the skies of night. Thus were the cords of self-oblivion torn. Like one who looks up to far heights she saw, ancient and strong, as on a windless summit above her, where she had worked in her lone mind, laboring apart in a soul tower of self, the source of all which she had seen or wrought, a power projected into cosmic space, a slow embodiment of the aeonic will, a starry fragment of the eternal truth, the passionate instrument of an unmoved power. A presence was there that filled the listening world, a central all assumed her boundless life, a sovereignty, a silence and a swiftness, one brooded over abysses. Who was she? As in a choric robe of unheard sounds, a force descended, trailing endless lights, linking time seconds to infinity, illimitably it girt the earth and her. It sank into her soul, and she was changed. Then, like a thought fulfilled by some great word, that mightiness assumed a symbol form. Her being spaces quivered with its touch. It covered her as with immortal wings. On its lips, the curve of the unuttered truth, a halo of wisdom's lightnings for its crown, it entered the mystic lotus in her head, a thousand-petaled home of power and light. Immortal leader of her mortality, doer of her works and fountain of her words, invulnerable by time, omnipotent, it stood above her, calm, immobile, mute. All in her mated with that mighty hour, as if the last remnant had been slain by death of the humanity that once was hers. Assuming a spiritual wide control, making life see a mirror of heaven's sky, the young divinity in her earthly limbs filled with celestial strength her mortal part. Over was the haunted pain, the rending fear. Her grief had passed away, her mind was still. Her heart beat quietly with a sovereign force. There came a freedom from the heartstrings clutch. Now all her acts sprang from a Godhead's calm. Calmly she laid upon the forest soil the dead who still reposed upon her breast and bore to turn away from the dead form. Soul, now she rose to meet the dreadful God. That mightier spirit turned its mastering gaze on life and things, inheritor of a work left to it unfinished from her halting past. Yet, when yet the mind, a passionate learner, toiled, and ill-shaped instruments were crudely moved. Transcended now was the poor human rule. A sovereign power was there, a godlike will. A moment yet she lingered motionless and looked down on the dead man at her feet. Then, like a tree recovering from a wind, she raised her noble head. Fronting her gaze, something stood there, unearthly, somber, grand, a limitless denial of all being that wore the terror and wonder of a shape. In its appalling eyes, the tenebrous form bore the deep pity of destroying gods. A sorrowful irony curved the dreadful lips that speak the word of doom. Eternal night, in the dire beauty of an immortal face, pity arose, receiving all that lives forever into its fathomless heart, refuge of creatures from their anguish and world pain. His shape was nothingness made real. His limbs were monuments of transience, and beneath brows of unwearying calm, large godlike lids silent beheld the writhing serpent life. Unmoved, their timeless, wide, unchanging gaze had seen the unprofitable cycles pass, survive the passing of unnumbered stars, and shelter still the same immutable orbs. The two opposed each other with their eyes, woman and universal God, around her, piling their void, unbearable loneliness upon her mighty, uncompanioned soul, many inhuman solitudes came close. Vacant eternity's forbidding hope laid upon her their huge and lifeless look, and to her ears, silencing earthly sounds, a sad and formidable voice arose, which seemed the whole adverse worlds. Unclasp, it cried, thy passionate influence, and relax, O slave of nature, changing tool of changeless law, who vainly writhest rebellion to my yoke, thy elemental grasp. Weep and forget. Entomb thy passion in its living grave. Leave now the once loved spirit's abandoned robe. Pass lonely back to thy vain life on earth. It ceased. She moved not, and it spoke again, lowering its mighty key to human cause. Yet a dread cry behind the uttered sounds, echoing all sadness and immortal scorn, moaned like a hunger of far wandering waves. Wilt thou forever keep thy passionate hold, thyself a creature doomed like him to pass, denying his soul death's calm and silent rest? Relax thy grasp. This body is earth's and thine. His spirit now belongs to a greater power. Woman, thy husband suffers. Savitri drew back her heart's force that clasped his body still, wherefrom her lap renounced on the smooth grass, softly it lay, as often before in sleep, when from their couch she rose in the white dawn, called by her daily tasks. Now too, as if called, she rose and stood, gathered in lonely strength, like one who drops his mantle for a race and waits the signal, motionlessly swift. She knew not to what course, her spirit above, on the crypt summit of her secret form, like one left sentinel on a mountain crest, a fiery-footed splendor, puissant winged, watched, flaming silent, with her voiceless soul, like a still sail upon a windless sea. White, passionless it rode, an anchored might, waiting what far-ridged impulse should arise out of the eternal depths and cast its surge. Then death the king leaned boundless down, as leans night over tired lands, when evening pales and fading gleams break down the horizon's walls, nor yet the dusk grows mystic with the moon. The dim and awful Godhead rose erect from his brief stooping to his touch on earth, and like a dream that wakes out of a dream, forsaking the poor mold of that dead clay, another luminous Satyavan arose, starting upright from the recumbent earth, as if someone over viewless borders stepped, emerging on the edge of unseen worlds. In the earth's day, the silent marvel stood between the mortal woman and the god. Such seemed he, as if one departed came, wearing the light of a celestial shape, splendidly alien to the mortal air. The mind sought things long loved and fell back foiled from unfamiliar hues, beheld yet longed by the sweet radiant form unsatisfied, incredulous of its two bright hints of heaven. Too strange the brilliant phantasm to life's clasp, desiring the warm creations of the earth, reared in the ardor of material suns, the senses seized in vain, a glorious shade. Only the spirit knew the spirit still, and the heart divined the old loved heart, though changed. Between two realms he stood, not wavering, but fixed in quiet, strong expectancy, like one who, sightless, listens for a command. So were they immobile on that earthly field. Powers not of earth, though one in human clay. On either side of one, two spirits strove. Silence battled with silence, vast with vast. But now the impulse of the path was felt, moving from the silence that supports the stars to touch the confines of the visible world. Luminous, he moved away. Behind him, death went slowly with his noiseless tread, as seen in dream-built fields, a shadowy herdsman glides behind some wanderer from his voiceless herds, and Savitri moved behind eternal death. Her mortal pace was equaled with the gods. Wordless, she travelled in her lover's steps, planting her human feet where his had trod, into the perilous silences beyond. At first, in a blind stress of wood, she moved with strange inhuman paces on the soil, journeying as if upon an unseen road. Around her, on the green and imaged earth, the flickering screen of forest ringed her steps, its thick, luxurious obstacle of boughs besieged her body, pressing dimly through in a rich realm of whispers palpable. And all the murmurous beauty of the leaves rippled round around her like an emerald robe. But more and more this grew an alien sound, and her old intimate body seemed to her a burden which her being remotely bore. herself live far in some uplifted scene, where too the transclaimed vision of pursuit, soul presences in a high spaceless dream, the luminous spirit glided stilly on, and the great shadow travelled vague behind. Still with an amorous crowd of seeking hands, softly entreated by their old desires, her senses felt earth's close and gentle air cling round them, and in troubled branches new, uncertain treadings of a faint foot wind. She bore dim fragrances, far callings touched, the wild bird's voice and its wing rustle came, as if a sigh from some forgotten world. Earth stood aloof yet near, round her it wove its sweetness and its greenness and delight, its brilliant suave of well-loved vivid hues, sunlight arriving to its golden noon, and the blue heaven and the caressing soil. The ancient mother offered to her child her simple world of kind familiar things. But now, as if the body's sensuous mold, curbing the godhead of her infinite walk, had freed those spirits to their grander road, across some boundary's intangible bar, the silent God grew mighty and remote in other spaces, and the soul she loved lost its consenting nearness to her life. Into a deep and unfamiliar air, enormous, windless, without stir or sound, they seemed to enlarge away, drawn by some wide, pale distance from the warm control of earth, and her grown far. Now they would escape. Then flaming from her body's nest, alarmed, her wild and spirit soared at Satyavan. Out mid the plunge of heaven-surrounded rocks, so in a terror and a wrath divine, from her eerie streams against the ascending death, indignant at its crouching point of steel, a fierce she-eagle, threatened in her brood, borne on a rush of puissance and a cry, outwinging like a mass of golden fire. So on a spirit's flaming outrush born, she crossed the borders of dividing sense. Like pale discarded sheaths dropped dully down, her mortal members fell back from her soul. A moment of a secret body sleep, her trance knew not of sun or earth or world. Thought, time and death were absent from her grasp. She knew not self, forgotten was Savitri. All was the violent ocean of a will, where lived captive to an immense caress, possessed in a supreme identity, her aim, joy, origin, Satyavan alone. Her sovereign, prisoned in her being's core, he beat there like a rhythmic heart, herself, but different still, one loved, enveloped, clasped, a treasure saved from the collapse of space. Around him, nameless, infinite, she surged, her spirit fulfilled in his spirit, rich with all time, as if love's deathless moment had been found, a pearl within eternity's white shell. Then out of the engulfing sea of trance, her mind rose, drenched to light, streaming with hues of vision, and awake once more to time, returned to shape the lineaments of things and live in borders of the seen and known. Onward the three still moved in her soul scene, as if pacing through fragments of a dream, she seemed to travel on, a vision shape, imagining other muses like herself, by them imagined in their lonely sleep. Ungrasped, unreal, yet familiar, old, like clefts of unsubstantial memory, scenes often traversed, never lived in, fled, past her unheeding to forgotten goals. In voiceless regions they were travelers, alone in a new world where souls were not, but only living moods. A strange, hushed, weird country was round them, strange, far skies above, a doubting space where dreaming objects lived within themselves, their one unchanged idea. Weird were the grasses, weird the treeless plains, weird ran the road which, like fear, hastening towards that of which it has most terror, passed phantasmal between pillared conscious rocks, somber and high, gates brooding, whose stone thoughts lost their huge sense beyond in giant night. Enigma of the inconscient sculptural sleep, symbols of the approach to darkness old, and monuments of her titanic reign opening to depths like dumb, appalling jaws that wait a traveller down a haunted path, attracted to a mystery that slays, they watched across her road, cruel and still. Sentinels they stood of dumb necessity, mute heads of vigilant and sullen gloom, carved muzzle of a dim, enormous world. Then too that chill, sear, heavy line arrived, where his feet touched the shadowy march's brink, turning arrested, luminous Satyavan, looked back with his wonderful eyes at Savitri. But death pealed forth his vast abysmal cry, O mortal, turn back to thy transient kind. Aspire not to accompany death to his home, as if thy breath could live, but time must die. Think not thy mind-born passion, strength from heaven, to uplift thy spirit from its earthly base, and, breaking out from the material cage, to upbuoy thy feet of dream in groundless naught, and bear thee through the pathless infinite. Only in human limits man lives safe. Trust not in the unreal lords of time, immortal, deeming this image of thyself, which they have built on a dream's floating ground. Let not the dreadful goddess move thy soul to enlarge thy vehement trespass into worlds where it shall perish like a helpless thought. Know the cold term stones of thy hopes in life. armed vainly with the ideal's borrowed might, dare not to outstep man's bound and measured force. Ignorant and stumbling in brief boundary spent, he crowns himself the world's mock suzerain, tormenting nature with the works of mind. O sleeper, dreaming of divinity, wake, trembling, mid the indifferent silences in which thy few weak chords of being die. Impermanent creatures, sorrowful foam of time, your transient loves binds not the eternal gods. The dread voice ebbed in the consenting hush which seemed to close upon it, wide, intense, a wordless sanction from the jaws of night. The woman answered not. Her high, nude soul, stripped of the girdle of mortality against fixed destiny and the grooves of law, stood up in its sheer will, a primal force. Like a statue on its pedestal, lone in the silence and to vastness bared, against midnight's dumb abysses piled in front, a column shaft of fire and light, she rose. End of Canto 1.